This is William Tincup, and you are listening to the Use Case Podcast. Today we have Paul on from NeoBrain, and we'll be learning about the business case, or the cost-benefit analysis, the ROI, or what I call the use case for why prospects and customers use and choose NeoBrain. So why don't we do introductions and learn a little bit about Paul and NeoBrain. Paul, would you introduce yourself and NeoBrain?
Sure. So nice to meet you, William. So I'm Paul Courtois. I'm the co-founder and CEO of NeoBrain. And I founded NeoBrain 5 years and a half ago based on one simple discovery. I was trying to understand how the largest companies adapt to accelerated market changes. And I actually took the Fortune 500 companies from the year 2000. And I found out that in the last, let's say, a little bit less than 20 years, half of them have either disappeared or left this ranking. So that's the moment when I tried to understand what made the difference between the successful half and the other one. And I discovered that they had the capacity to allocate the right skill in the right place at the right time. And that's how we basically defined the NeoBrain's mission, the right skill in the right place at the right time. And we then developed an AI-powered talent management solution that helps the employee to, we empower the employee and we want to help the employee take the ownership of his career and understand where he can contribute the most. We provide the managers the right tools to develop their teams. And then we provide the HR team, we give the HR team the right solution to align the available resources with the company strategy.
Paul, I hate software categories, despise them. However, a lot of HR budgets, if not all HR budgets, are built in Excel or Google Sheets. Yeah. So where do people tend to put NeoBrain?
If we look at the HR tech landscape, we're part of the talent marketplace space. Mm-hmm. So under the, let's say, like the talent management space, we're really focused on the talent marketplace, where we basically have to meet internal supply and demand of skills, basically. Yeah, that's our space.
Yeah. Do some people think of that as internal mobility?
Yes. One use case we're covering is indeed to link skills with internal mobility or career path. Yeah.
So I want to get your take on skills and how, at least historically, and how I should look at them. At least historically, you went to college, you got a degree in chemistry, you had the skills of chemistry, whatever those might be, and you might have those forever. So if you graduated 30 years ago and you had those skills, then it was perceived that you still had those skills. And I think pretty much that's been debunked through the last couple of years, where skills are more fluid in a sense of you gain and lose skills all the time. Your depth and breadth in the way that we look at tangential or contiguous or transferable skills. So why don't you just take a moment and just give us your take, NeoBrain's take on just skills.
Skills, because it has been here for quite a while. If you take the HR books from like 30 or 40 years ago, skills was already part of those books. But what really happened, I think, is that technology helped to scale basically skills management, meaning that for the largest companies, they were basically building skills framework on a spreadsheet, trying to define the 10 most critical skills for each job and always starting from a blank page, describing those skills. But as soon as they finish this work, they have everything is outdated and then they have to rebuild everything again. That's what we see on the market. And it's very frustrating for HR team. And now with technology, and especially with all the AI advancements, we have the capacity to screen the market and help the HR to always maintain an up-to-date skills ontology. And with this skills ontology, they can then focus on where they want to apply skills. And indeed, the first use case is definitely using skills to increase and enhance internal mobility. Mm-hmm. Because when you describe your skills, the system can understand what's the potential next job that might suit your skills and aspirations. Yeah, that's basically how we see how skills are working right now. And indeed, skills are being challenged every day. New skills are appearing, many new innovations. When we talk with our clients, they have new things on their plate every quarter. They'll have, oh, there is this major innovation, or there is this new big strategy. When we want, for instance, to have zero carbon emission by, let's say, like in the next 20 years, what are the green skills? And okay, or generative AI is the hot topic of today. What's the impact of generative AI on our skills? Yes, that's the kind of question they're asking, and they need a software that helps to basically answer these questions at scale.
And one of the things I would assume that they care about is the skills gap, right? So yeah. Inventory what they have versus forecasting what they need. Yes. And then seeing what the gap in those are and whether or not they have to go outside the firm or whether or not they need to train within the firm or promote within the firm. Once they have the insight or once they have some visibility into what the gap is, then they can create a plan on filling the gap.
Yes, that's totally right. And I think few major events that really put skills back on their desk, basically, and made this space very, very hot. It's basically we are living at the same time a big talent shortage, and we've been living the great resignation or the quiet quitting. In Europe, we're more talking about quiet quitting than great resignation. But we've been living those two events at the same time when companies then were before that, they were trying to hire as much people as possible. And then they found out that perhaps the skills they're looking for are just basically not available on the market or not enough. So they started to think of, okay, how can we basically build those skills internally? So when they think of their build, buy, and borrow plan, they start putting more focus on the build than buy, trying to identify how they can basically build those skills internally. And they found out that building those opportunities internally was also one way to fidelize their talent, retain their talent, because based on when we just have had look on the most important reason why people just leave their job, there is the manager, of course. We all know that. We mostly leave a manager, but there is also another second topic, which is very present. It's the lack of visibility on career advancement. So they're like, okay, if we build skills internally, we provide new opportunities for our internal workforce, and perhaps it's better to retain our people than just try to find other people on the market. So,
and it's also what candidates are asking on the front end in recruiting. They're asking, how are you going to develop me?
Yeah.
So if you're not harvesting talent, like if you're not growing talent, you don't have plans to grow talent, it's also going to make recruiting problematic with the millennials and Gen Z, because that's table stakes questions for them, that how you're going to develop me is literally one of the first things that they ask. And if you don't have great answers, examples of how that happens, then they're going to move on to the next gig.
That's right. That's 100% right. And the second major element we see is that the new generation, especially when we're talking about Gen Z. So basically what we see is that change job or change assignment or more frequently than ever before. So we need to rethink totally the way people acquire the skills, because they need to acquire them in very short time notice, because they need to perform. So they cannot acquire the skills for say 6-7 months when people will change job every year. So that's the first element. Second is, I think we're at a moment when a lot of companies are fractionizing like the work. They're just splitting the work in many gigs, basically just building jobs with different short-term assignments. And that's where skills are very interesting, because if you shift, you switch from one assignment to another, it's also a way, if you connect it with all the upskilling programs, the learning programs, then you create opportunities for people to apply the skills on real projects. So that's why that's also a major shift. And we have a lot of clients that are very interested in, for instance, our gigs module,
right,
allowing to give people more time to work on different assignments that are perhaps not written in the core of their job description.
That's cool, because they get to test things. And that's one thing I would love. I came up to the agency world where advertising, PR, web, interactive, et cetera, and we got to work on a lot of projects. You could jump in and do media relations for one firm, and then the next thing you were designing ads. Like you got to test all kinds of different things to see what you were good at, what you weren't good at, what you started to, I love this, I want to do this. So I love, first of all, I just love that companies are thinking about talent in that way and leveraging talent in that way and giving them opportunities to see other things. So I love that. You mentioned that something at the beginning I wanted to get back to, because you said about the intersection of timing and skills. We've talked a whole bunch about skills, which is super important, but I did want to get back to the timing part. So I'm assuming this is machine learning or AI in terms of understanding what the skills are and then where do those skills need to be applied in terms of timing, but I don't know. So why don't you take us into that part?
Yes. So the first step is to help people, basically, where do we actually apply AI? First is we help people describe their skills, because it's quite a complex exercise. If you had William to describe 15 most important skills you have, it's actually quite complex. It's much easier for people to describe what they do than the skills they acquired and they're mobilizing to achieve their daily task. So skills are sometimes a little complex to describe. So that's the first thing. We help and we accelerate the skills identification among the different employees profile within the company. So that's the first step. Second is we help the employees to find the best career path possible, matching three main criteria: their skills, their motivation, and the business priorities of their company. So when we link those three elements, we basically train our AI to help each employee draw the best and the most, let's say, like rewarding and motivating career path within their organization. And finally, we'll push relevant opportunities, whether it's trainings to help bridge the skills gap, or indeed like internal open positions or gigs that might be relevant so that you apply those skills or diversify your daily assignment, basically. That's where we bring value. But we know that when we want to accelerate the job rotation time, we want people to move and to evolve within the organization. We always start with the employees because we want to empower the employees. We are very employee-centric. But then we also need to focus on what's the role of the manager? What's the role of the HR? And that's why we provided an interface to the hiring manager that said, like, I'm looking for someone that, I know, like an accountant that has, I know, an experience in carve-out auditing, for instance. I don't know, I'm taking this example. Right. I'm just putting the information in the system, and our AI will come up with a list of the six most relevant people. Wow. profiles to match your need. And one very interesting thing is that we find out that as an average, we struggle to help manager have at least an interest on people that might not fit exactly the job that is requested, that perhaps haven't already experienced or don't have the exact job title that is from the expectation of the manager. So we have basically 2% of non-typical profiles, let's say, like that weren't people that had the exact same job, mobilizing the exact same skills, etc. So people, managers were basically taking 2% of non-typical people. And we introduced, thanks to generative AI, for this short list of six relevant profile, the generative AI explained with 4 or 5 bullet points why those people were matching with the opportunities. So shifting from just a matching percentage to a written explanation of why this person might be a good candidate. And we jump from 2% of non-typical profile to 15%, because then managers better understand why someone might be the best candidate, even though the current job title of the person doesn't match the job description one. That's it.
I love that. One of the things that I love is for line managers and department managers, et cetera, is that they don't get a lot of training. And to give them something that's really intuitive that they can then plug into and go, yeah, this will help me. And I love that. I love it. It's a wayfinding system. They can just say, I need this skill. okay, there's the short list of five. Great. Here's where they are. Now I can go talk to them, et cetera. It's just really smart. Let me ask you a couple buy side questions real quick. One is, what's when you do or your team does a demo of NeoBrain to a prospect, what do they fall in love with? What's that kind of that aha moment?
I'd say one very important added value we bring compared to other solutions on the market is our capacity to take motivation into account, which seems to be quite easy when we say that, because we all know that if you're not motivated to mobilize the skills expected in a certain position, you might not want to move towards this direction. So that's quite simple and pragmatic, but we're the only software that really takes into account the motivation you have to develop each of your skills, which is which is the first element. The second element I'd say is that we are, and we try to be as fully integrated in the flow of work as possible, meaning that what we're doing at NeoBrain is we're fully integrated in all major HRIS systems, such as SAP, SuccessFactors, Workday, Oracle, etc. And we embed our software into those systems so that you don't have an additional tool to use. And we even, right now, we're going even further because we want to be fully integrated into Microsoft Teams, as an example, to make sure that people don't have an additional tool, but you can write into Microsoft Teams, hey, I'm looking for an accountant that has a strong mastery of carve-out auditing. And the system will provide you the shortlist within Microsoft Teams. So you never have to leave the tools you're using every day. And that is, I'd say, like the second big asset. And the third one is the fact that we provide a mobile-first experience, allowing people that might don't have a desktop in their daily job, for instance, in certain industries such as retail or in certain low qualification jobs, some, for instance, like blue collars, they might not have a laptop in their daily job or in logistics, for instance. And we think that if people like white collar might not have the same, they have more chances because they can access their career management software when other people that have less qualification, those people won't have access to the same tool. We might actually create two shows in the job market. And that's what we want to prevent by making sure that with one unique tool, you can access 100% of your employees.
Okay. So questions that buyers should ask of NeoBrain and talent markets, let's just say talent marketplaces. What are the questions if they've never purchased or never even considered purchasing? What should they be asking of you?
To have a demonstration.
They're prospects. And so they've done the demo. They're thinking about, okay, like what, like when people buy ATSs all the time, it's a 50-year-old software category. So recruiters and HR know what to ask of ATSs, generally speaking. But talent marketplaces are a little bit newer. They might not have a great set of questions, buying questions to ask. What would you like to hear more from prospects?
I think one very important question is how ethic the AI is actually, because you can, based on the way you train your AI, you can actually reproduce some bias, or you can prevent those bias and try to increase, for instance, diversity in the profiles that are being selected. So I think how is actually trained the AI, how does it really work? And the vendors should, I think, be able to provide a very simple answer and try to bring some pedagogy and have at least thought about this question. So I think that's one element. I think the second question is, how automatized is the maintenance of the skills ontology? Because if it implies some manual modifications by the HR team, then I think, okay, it will be a great start. You have 6 months to get ready, but then two years later, the whole ontology will be completely outdated. So that's, I think, a second question to be asking to a vendor. And I think that the third question is perhaps not a question you should ask to the vendor, but real question that you should ask yourself before considering purchasing a talent marketplace is simply why? Because it's a very booming space. So sometimes people are like, yeah, I want a talent marketplace. Like, okay, what's the real impact you want to have? Yeah, we want more internal mobility. Okay, but why? and asking like several times just why, then you make sure that you really link the talent marketplace to real business needs. Otherwise, manager will push back those systems if it isn't deeply linked to a pain they already have and a business bottleneck they're facing.
Okay, so let's now pivot to, first of all, great questions. But let's pivot to some success stories that NeoBrain's had without brand names, without getting into the weeds of who it was for, but just where y'all came into a situation and they didn't have a talent marketplace, they didn't have this vision for skills, et cetera, and some of the outcomes that you've seen.
Okay, so a few examples. I'll provide you an example of a very well-known brand, which is the group LVMH. It's like Louis Vuitton, Christian Dior, Tiffany, etc. So it's this group. So we basically work with 150,000 employees. So we work at scale with the group LVMH. And they basically gather 75 of the biggest luxury brand in the world. It's a most valued European company. So it's a quite a big company. What we've seen is that when we started working with them, we started on part of the whole scope of NeoBrain. But when we started working with them, they basically had close to 20,000 people that weren't basically accessing any HR software because they just didn't have a laptop. So the first step was to make sure that all employees have the same accessibility to career opportunities, the capacity to describe, to define their career path, the career aspirations, to make sure that they also have accessibility to their performance management software. So we basically work with LVMH, make sure that all their employees, they were able to individualize and have an individualized connection with each of their employees. So that was the first big challenge they had. So that's one example. I'm providing you a second one, which is closer, which is for big banks. That is called, actually, it's called Natixis. They actually have 15,000 employees. And they were struggling because when we started working with them, they had one job out of eight that was filled by an internal candidate. 12 months after the deployment, they went from one job out of eight to one job out of two filled by an internal candidate. The outcome is they basically reduced the turnover of the company because the first reason, as I mentioned earlier, the first reason why people were leaving the company when they were doing the exit interviews was the lack of visibility on the internal opportunities on their next step. Right. So by having more people filling internal open positions, they actually reduced the overall turnover and retained their employees.
So... first of all, wonderful story. I'm sure you got a litany of those. Last thing I just wanted to get into with you is just what's NeoBrain's, what's success for y'all for the rest of the year? What are you obviously pushing? And it's a hot category, both skills and AI. So you're in a great place, but what's go to market for you? What are you trying to accomplish by the end of the year?
I'd say like if I give you some more context on where we are and where we're heading in 2023, for instance, like at the end of June, we have done basically more in 6 months than in the last 5 years. So we're really growing super fast right now. We're 140 people working at NeoBrain. I think we'll be close to 1,000 in the next 3 years. So we're living very strong growth. We'll be break even by the end of the year, which is also a very important milestone. So we want a sustainable growth, which is also very important because we work with large companies that want to work with startups that will still be here.
That's right. I've seen startups get ruled, the better technology just get ruled out because they don't have the stability. So I think that your point about being profitable is going to help land even more business in the future because you can at points when you need to be audited, we don't need to raise another 30 million or 50 million or whatever it is. We don't need to do that.
Yes. So that's the first thing. So we want to be breakeven by the end of the year while tripling our revenue because that's what we're doing this year. We're basically tripling our recurring revenue this year. We've done two acquisitions in the last 8 months. So we basically acquired two companies from the industry in the last 8 months. We have plans for other acquisitions. Our goal is to be at least reaching 60 million euro ARR in the next 3 years. So that's the path we're following right now. Yeah, so that's the next step. And right now we're investing a lot in the US market. So that's why we opened an office in San Francisco, one in New York, and we are building a local team to accelerate our US presence.
Awesome. I love what you've built. I love just everything that you've talked about today. So thank you for your time. And thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you very much, William.
Absolutely. And thanks for everybody listening. Until next time.